Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
let's take a quick trip down to Lake Marie,
where we can again pay tribute to the great John Prine.
Okay, Patrick, it is time to do the fan mail. We got to do the fan mail.
We have to do this, Jim. It's been piling up around the office. We're not working in the office, as many people know. The RTS Suburbs Pod offices are not open per state regulation. So we've been working from home, but there's been a lot of mail gathering there. And thanks to intern Matt, basically, for gathering all this together for us.
Intern Matt works really hard at gathering all the correspondence from all the different channels, as it were.
Yep.
And we then just kind of let it all pile up and we don't get to it. And then finally, we decide it's time to do that. So that's what we're going to do.
That's right.
Tomorrow, not today, but I think tomorrow for the fan mail we're going to do tomorrow, I think we have a package, right?
We do. Yes. It's right here.
Okay, you have it. So don't let me forget.
Yep.
Let's do that tomorrow. The reason why I don't want to do it today is because today's sort of a solemn fan mail episode.
Yes.
We have a lot of comments about the passing of John Prine from a couple of months ago.
Right.
So, you know, let's save the package for tomorrow. We'll do that. But I bring this up because I keep forgetting about the package, and I'm hoping you'll remind me tomorrow.
I will.
Okay, so anyway, this show is called Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we are in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., in Northern Virginia. And as I mentioned, today's episode, we're going to focus on some correspondence we got about an episode we did on the passing of John Prine.
That's right, Jim. And I will take this opportunity to do this, which I think John Prine probably did a lot of times in his life, which is open a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
All right.
Rest in power, John.
Okay, so let me get to the first email here. We got this email from Jason Goebel from New York. And Jason says, first off, thanks for keeping the podcast going during the coronavirus. It's nice to know when I wake up, I get to hear you two discussing music. That's very nice, Jason.
That means a lot, yeah.
Second, he says, thank you for the John Prine episode. I think one of you said on the podcast that maybe you needed to live a little bit to appreciate John Prine. I always loved the song Angel of Montgomery, but never really did a deep dive until Tree of Forgiveness came out. I remember the day it came out, picking up the download on Apple Music and listening to it repeatedly at work on my headphones that day. That night, I had the pleasure of seeing John Prine do a special album release concert at Radio City Music Hall. I think I bought tickets because it was announced beforehand that Sturgill Simpson was going to do an acoustic set to open the show, and I'm a huge Sturgill fan, but I fell in love with John that night. Simpson joined John for a couple of numbers, as did Brandy Carlile. A bunch of fan videos of duets that he did with Brandy that night are on YouTube, which I recommend if you've never seen them. Even without the guests, just listening to John, his gravelly voice, and hearing those lyrics made for a very memorable evening.
Wow.
It led to my dive into the entire catalog and becoming a huge fan of his music. Only time I saw him live was the Radio City show, but I'm so glad I went. Thanks for the Prine tribute and the show in general, and stay safe and healthy. Jason Goebel, counsel, by the way.
What?
Yeah, I know. We could use good counsel. So
that's right, man.
So we're happy that
counsel.
You're a listener. But how nice is that?
That's incredible. I mean, what an amazing experience to be able to see him play at Radio City Music Hall. That's an album release show as well. That's really, really cool. Plus Sturgill Simpson and Brandy Carlile. And then, I always think it's kind of magical, Jim, especially with somebody like Prine, rest in power, who has such a rich back catalog and such a rich story in history. And, you know, for whatever reason, you just are not aware of this artist, you know, and it happens to all of us. And then that moment touches you and you just want to get every single thing they've done and just find out all you can find out. And that's really cool.
And I've heard this story, the same kind of story from other people too. He's that kind of artist where, you know, because he never really had tremendous commercial success and not like a lot of radio airplay or anything like that, you would tend to hear about him from somebody else who was a music fan generally. And at that point, you just kind of become obsessed with his music. Like, yeah. He's just one of those kind of artists.
And, you know, we can carry his spirit on and his gift and his talent through discovering him. So it's a blessing. That's one of the magics of rock and roll. The magical things about rock and roll is that it is captured for that moment when it happened. You can go back and revel in it over and over again. And with Prine, man, whew.
Today I walked down a street I used to wind. Yeah, scratched my head and I lit my cigarette. There was all these things that I don't think I remember. Hey, how lucky can one man get?
This one comes from Nick Arnott, I believe, A-R-N-D-T. He said, my favorite track, John Prine track, is Lake Marie from Lost Dogs and Mixed Blessings. It's a kind of song nobody but Prine could execute as perfectly. Verses that tell a vivid story and a chorus you can sing along to. It's 6 minutes, but never gets tired.
The dogs were barking as the cars were parking. The loon sharks were sharking. The necks were narking. Practically everyone was there. In the parking lot by the forest preserve, the police had found two bodies. Nay, naked bodies. Their faces had been horribly disfigured by some sharp object. I saw it on the news, the TV news, in a black and white video. You know what blood looks like in a black and white video? Shadows. Shadows! That's what it looks like. All the love we shared between her and me was slammed. Slammed up against the banks of old Lake Marie. Marie! We were standing. Standing by peaceful waters. Standing by peaceful waters.
So there you go. It's a story song. You got to listen to the whole thing to get the story.
Yeah.
But he was really good at that sort of thing as well.
Well, I think what Nick said, so well, you can sing along to the chorus.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so you sort of spend the verses kind of listening to the story. And then, you know, as it sweeps you up, you sing along to the chorus. And that's a genius move. So it's, man, if you've never heard that whole song, put it on right now.
Oh, for sure. Well, after this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is an email from our friend Phil Ingracia.
Phil.
Now, this is really interesting, too. He says, as a latecomer to the glory of John Prine, this is indeed a sad day. I started listening a bit when The Missing Years came out. The song All the Best got my attention.
Hmm.
There's a duet he does with Nancy Griffith on her Other Voices, Other Rooms album, Speed of the Sound of Loneliness, that folks should check out, too.
You come home late and you come home early. You come on big when you're feeling small. You come home straight and you come home curly. Sometimes you don't come home at all. So what in the world's come over you? And what in heaven's name have you done? Broken the speed of the sound of loneliness. You're out there running just to be on the run. Well, I got a heart that burns with a fever. And I got a worried and a jealous mind. Well, how can a love love that'll last forever. I get left so far behind. So what in the world's come over you?
He wrote it, and it fits Nancy's high, lonesome voice. I saw him only once in 2018 at Wolf Trap with Margot Price. Everyone seemed to just love the guy, and I'm glad I finally got around to paying attention. Rest in power, Mr. Prine. So the reason why I think that's interesting is kind of goes with what I was saying before, too. You and I know Phil. You know, we know that he has been a pretty intense music fan for, decades, right? And he's another guy kind of, was a latecomer to John Prine's music, right?
So interesting. And, what Phil says at the end here, I mean, it's never too late to start paying attention to somebody. So, I think that's great, too. I really do. But like you said, Jim, it's kind of amazing that such an American giant and I think his influence, as we've talked about, was very, very big amongst musicians. Everybody respected his craft, his ability, the way he never sort of sold out, quote unquote, and never had those moments where he, was trying to do something he wasn't, or tried to be somebody he wasn't. And that's part of his enduring legacy as well.
Yes. Yes. By the way, just an aside, there was a John Prine like film that was released about a month ago or so, I want to say. Yeah. And they had the debut on it was like a Facebook watch or something like that. Where you could watch it live, premiere streaming online. It was really cool, and I watched it, and there's a part in there that is several people talking about John Prine, and you see old clips and stuff like that, but then there's a part in there where Bill Murray shows up and tells a story, because they apparently go way back, old Chicago days. And it was really funny, too. So, I can't remember the name of the film, but check that out. I'm sure you can find it. It's really good. Okay. And then here is a Facebook comment from Nicholas Nygaards.
Nicholas writes, "So sad to hear about John Prine's passing." And again, this is our great friend and community member, Nicholas, from Sweden. And he wrote this on April 8th of this year. Again, so sad to hear about John Prine's passing, broken heart emoji. I was fortunate enough to see him perform in concert only 2 months ago in Sweden, which sadly turned out to be one of his last performances. He was meant to be playing in August of last year, but had to postpone due to having to undergo heart surgery. I didn't have tickets for August, but I managed to get a hold of 2 return tickets for the rearranged concert in February. He drove in on stage with one of those electric scooters. His legs had been a bit weak the past weeks before. And got off and sat down on his chair, took his guitar, and played for 2 hours straight. It was such a brilliant night, close to magical even. His songs, his warmth, his sense of humor, and his brilliant band. The members of the band and the backdrop brought a very Twin Peaks-esque feel to it. To top it off, he played one of my favorite songs of his, Summer's End. Rest in power, you lovely man.
Summer's ends around the bend, just flying. The swimming suits are on the line, just drive. I'll meet you there for our conversation. I hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation. Well, you never know how far from home you're feeling until you've watched the shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing. In your car, the windows are wide open. Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home.
You know, he had a lot of health problems through the years. He was a cancer survivor and
that's right.
So on. And I saw him a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago. And they had this great sort of joyous sense about him. If you ever, you know, saw him live or saw him on TV or anything like that, you know, despite, you know, kind of what life was throwing at him, you know, he always seemed to be somebody who embraced, you know, the good things, right? And appreciate maybe, you know, what he had. And so I could see this. I could see, you know, here's a guy who's, you know, in this case, in that particular setting, was really, you know, not in great health, but still played for 2 hours and probably did it happily. It probably was good for him, you know, as much as the audience, right?
So I was going to say the same thing, Jim. I'm sure for him, the best therapy was sitting down with his guitar, you know, and playing and singing. I was fortunate enough to see him one time at the Birchmere in Alexandria on assignment, and that truly was an incredible thing. I think I'm a very lucky person. Two of the great American songwriters and singers I saw both do solo shows at the Birchmere. One was John Prine, the other was Warren Zevon.
Cool.
And very different shows. Warren Zevon was taking the piss out of the whole crowd and the Birchmere the whole time, and John Prine was very reverential about the people that had played there before him and all the and all the great musicians that had passed through that club.
Yeah, Warren Zevon, less of a sense of joy necessarily. That's right. You know, a guy who I think viewed life through a different lens, maybe.
Totally.
But worthy of your time, nevertheless, both of them, you know, both of that.
Absolutely. Both iconic American singer-songwriters who never compromised their vision for anybody. So, yeah.
It's great. Okay. So, anyway, there you go. Thank you to everyone who commented there. Those are great little stories and remembrances. Yeah. So, all right. So, one last time, John Prine, rest in power. And,
rest in power.
You know, was mentioned at the top of the first email there from Jason, where, you know, he thanked us for keeping this podcast going during coronavirus. And, you know, I failed to mention, too, that it was unfortunate that coronavirus was, was the cause of death for John Prine as well. So whenever people say it's not that bad, it's the flu or whatever, just remind them that if not for coronavirus, you know, John Prine would still be around. So. All right, let's get out of here. We have some more upbeat fan mail tomorrow and the package. So let's not forget the package.
That's right. We're going to open some goodies.
So we're going to do fan mail again tomorrow and the next day. So we have two more topics to cover. And then we still have a mountain of it still to get through. It's just you know, not quite as tall. And we'll
that's
we'll
right.
Probably this will probably carry into the next week as well. So all right, let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
By a fountain back in Rome, I fell in love with you. In a small cafe in Athens, you said you loved me too.
And it was April in Paris when I first held you close to me.
Rome, Georgia,
Athens, Texas, and Paris, Tennessee. No, we're not the jet set, we're the old Chevrolet set. There's no Riviera in Festus, Missouri, and you won't find Onassis in Merlinville, Kansas. No, we're not the jet set, we're the old Chevrolet set. But ain't we got love?
Where we can again pay tribute. Where we can again pay tribute again.